Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. On today's episode, I have Kathy LaCognata in the studio. Kathy, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so excited that you're here. You're one of my favorite persons from the Goldman Sachs program. I always like to start each show by telling everyone, our listeners, how I know my co-host. And so you and I met in the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses program, and you have such an amazing concept. I don't want to steal your thunder. I want you to introduce yourself to everyone, but it is such a delight to have you next to me today as a co-host.
I agree.
So tell us about you.
So my name is Kathy LaCognata. I own a gym called Training for Warriors Brooklyn. It's not your typical gym. It's more like a transformation center. We kind of call it a dojo. It's a place of enlightenment, which means we can help any person that wants to be helped, or we really try to help the person that is afraid, is scared of going to the typical gym. You know, they walk into the weight room, they won't go in, they just stay in the treadmill for, you know, weeks on end, and then they get tired of it. And we found the program to be very enlightening for people. It changes mind, body, and soul.
Ooh.
which is kind of cool. It's very rewarding.
What's rewarding about it?
I get to see people that never thought they could do the things they could do. Like a woman will come in that she's 300 pounds, she drops 50 pounds, she's deadlifting, she's squatting, doing things that she thought she was too big to do, or that she was just never be able to do. And to see, especially women, we take everybody, but we've mostly women, to see them see what the strength can do for their self-confidence is absolutely amazing. And it's amazing to be part of it.
Oh, I'm so impressed. And Training for Warriors, that name is powerful.
It is.
Wow, how did you come up with that name? I never asked you that question.
Well, actually, I didn't. I'm part of an affiliateship. So Martin Rooney is our head coach. He has about 300 affiliates, and that's what I am. So he's our head coach.
Okay.
Gives us a program, and you know, we're all part of a network, which is even more empowering, that we have a network of people that we can go to and really, you know, have that to lean on, have people to lean on.
And what's so important about that is, one, having a network means that you have folks you can lean on, but also you has your reach is so broad and wide. And as you know, being in the network that we have with Goldman Sachs and the Tory Burch Foundation, it's so important to have people that we can lean on.
It is. And I never realized that, like, especially after the 10K SB, it was amazing. We have a whole chat going, and we hear all the great things, you know, hear things that aren't great. And just to have that network, it has opened up doors.
Oh, good.
Like me being here.
I know. I'm so thrilled to have you here.
Thanks.
And you recently started a new initiative at Training for Wars.
I was
going to say TFW.
Yeah, well, but we can say TFW. That's fine. I decided that, you know, people, the biggest part that people were biggest problem was the nutrition. Mm-hmm. It was where do I eat? Where do I go? So we'd send them out to get stuff. We'll go cook this at home. And I had this concept. I had this great little spot in the front of the gym. Let's build a smoothie bar. You know what? People are looking for quick, healthy, efficient meals. And through the 10KSB, gave me that little bit of a push to do it. We opened it. And here we are.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So did you bring smoothies for everyone in the studio
today? I would have, but it was planes, trains, and automobiles to get here, so they would have melted.
I'm just so happy to have you here. I'll just take a rain check for that smoothie.
You got it, baby.
Oh, man, I can't wait to go there. And, you know, I have to go back to the name. I love Training for Warriors. It does make you feel like you can do anything, including, like, deadlift and all those fun things.
Right.
And so for a person like me, I do like to exercise, but if I felt like I was training to be a warrior, I would be there all the time.
Right. I think Martin came up with the name that we all have a warrior within. And whatever that means to you, we get to bring that out. So it doesn't have to be physical fitness. It can be a mental capacity, spiritual. It's all there.
I love that. Yeah. So for all of you listening, that's amazing. We all have a warrior within, and it could be anything. Mm-hmm. And you have to find the right partner to help bring that out of you.
Absolutely. Or the right program.
I'm a big fan. And so basically, for those of you tuning in for the first time, you can call our hotline. And what this hotline is an opportunity for you to ask a question, something that you're pondering or need help navigating. It could be a conflict. It could be too many options, an abundance of great things. And you're just hoping to hear some insight from someone who's not a part of it, someone who has no vested interest in what's going on. And so what we do is we take your message, we pair it up with a co-host, and the co-host will hear your message for the first time on our show. Have you heard any messages before getting here, Kathy?
Not yet, and I'm a little nervous.
Well, you shouldn't be nervous, because what we do, and what our producer does in particular, is we pair up the messages with our co-host. And so we would never ask you anything that's like outside of your industry, because I want you to shine, I want to shine, and we want to help people who are calling with questions.
All right, cool.
And so without further ado, we can play the first message.
You have one message. Hey, this is Brian. Just calling to find out what steps would one need to take in order to try and open up their own gym. Also, we kind of see that people are straying away from a lot of equipment in gyms, kind of like less is more. Do you think, what kind of custom setups do you think would be good for, you know, a new age type of gym? Thank you.
Ooh, this is great. So the first question is, how did you start your own gym? Happy we have you in the studio today, because I have no idea how to start a gym. I know how to start a company.
Well, what I did was I started from the bottom. I was a receptionist, became a spin instructor, went to start doing just different certifications, and ended up being with a partner, which worked out terribly, and it was a hell of a drive to get back to where I am today. I think you have to have the passion. I had this passion to help people, and I loved doing what I do, and I felt like, you know what, I didn't go to work. I enjoyed what I do. So let me do my own thing. Got rid of the partner, went on my own, and I'm doing better than ever.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And you know what I like too? Because we always hear about successes, but we never hear about any challenges along the way. And I like that you said you had a partner, things didn't work out, but and you started from the bottom. You said you started as a receptionist, you were a spin instructor, had a partner, that didn't work out, and then you redirected, mm-hmm. and now you said you're doing better than you've ever done before. And that's so inspirational, Kathy.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing that, because again, sometimes we only hear about, you know, like the Jeff Bezos or the and by the way, perhaps there were some other products or companies that he had that didn't make it as far as Amazon.
Right.
But the point is, I love for people to know that sometimes there are some hiccups.
Right. And there was no receptionist that's starting at the bottom. I want to rephrase that. I think becoming a receptionist made me realize that I knew every part of the business before I opened it.
Yes.
So to the question, I think knowing everything, being able to do everything is important. Not that I want to do everything, but I think you need to know your business.
Yes, yes, yes.
Inside and out.
And you know what? I'm happy you rephrased that, because I think it's not, I think what it is, I mean, people think at the top, they think of like the boss, this who's the owner.
Right.
And so I think everyone totally understands and appreciates that you don't mean like starting from the bottom, now we're here. You know?
No.
Like, it's not that kind of situation. It's more like, how do you do everything? I mean, I know people who said they started in the mailroom and now they're the CEO.
Right.
And so knowing every aspect of your business really does make you an exceptional boss.
It does.
Right? Because you've been there, you've done it, and you have some insight on some ways to improve or the ways to the job. And what I also like is, you know, that it also keeps you open-minded to different ideas, right? Right? And so what are some things that you think it takes? So if he wants to open up his own gym, you know, from my perspective, from the legal perspective, of course, you have to have some type of corporate entity,
right?
And so you have to have, you know, an LLC or a corporation. If you're in a partnership, mm-hmm. you may consider having a general partnership or a limited partnership. And so we would have to know a little bit more about what your goals are. Are you doing this with someone else, Brian? You know, what your overall picture is. But the point is that you probably don't want to start a gym as a sole proprietor. You probably want to have some corporate structure in place to provide a corporate shield for limited liability. What do you think, Kathy?
Absolutely, 100%.
Right? Because what happens is you don't want to have your own personal assets being at risk. And so that's probably the first step, is figuring out which corporate structure is good for you and working with a legal advisor to help you do that. And then second, location, right, Kathy?
Absolutely.
Where are you taking that gym? Where are you going with that?
Right.
So how did you figure out where to put your location?
Another failure story. I'm from Rockaway. That's where I raised my family. And that's where the gym was. And it was 2012, October, when Hurricane Sandy hit.
Mm.
And it wrecked it.
Oh, no.
And, of course, it also destroyed my house and many people's houses. So there we had to move. And we couldn't stay in Rockaway. The people weren't there. And there was no place left.
Yeah.
So I ended up moving to Brooklyn, and that's how I ended up with Training for Warriors Brooklyn.
Wow. Yeah. And so basically from the storm rose this phoenix, which was Absolutely. Training for Warriors. I mean, you're a real warrior. Yeah. Wow.
I try to think I am.
And did it take you a long time to find the location where you are currently?
Actually, not really. It didn't. And ended up with great landlords. It was almost like the perfect fit, which was really nice.
I love that. That's yeah. fantastic. And how long have you been there since 20?
7 years.
Wow. Time is flying.
Yeah, it flies.
7 years. And so then the next part, Brian, sounds like finding the right location. And then you had to put people in there, right? Like, so you had to have employees or contractors or someone actually working. So how did you go about building your team?
Well, most of the instructors did come from Rockaway because it's really not that far.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? And this is something that, again, Martin Rooney teaches us. Build from within. You have to have people with passion. And this is no disrespect to anybody. You can have a kinesiology degree. If you don't have people skills and passion and empathy and everything that the person who my target market is looking for, you're not going to be very successful.
So true.
Because I think people skills and, you know, of course, knowing your craft 100%. But you got to love what you do when you got passion.
Passion.
Hands down.
I love that because if you're passionate, it really shows in what you're doing. You kind of exude this authenticity that people can feel.
Yes.
And sometimes that passion is, you know, it's contagious, right? Like people are like, oh my God, like I want to do it.
Yeah.
So you built from within.
Yeah. And most of my instructors came, they were former students.
Okay.
And they went through the Training for Warriors level one, level two certs. They got their personal training cert. And because they were passionate and because it worked for them. They lived it, they did it, they understood it. So they were able to talk about it, which is kind of cool. Yeah, so
that's great.
I have a great team.
Your team sounds amazing.
They're amazing, they really are.
And so it sounds like step three is to find the right team.
Yes.
Build the right team and make sure that you're finding people that are passionate. And that reminded me of something that I heard Tony say. And Tony Say, as you guys may know, is the founder of Zappos.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually had a company before Zappos that, according to him, wasn't that successful. It failed because he solely focused on finding the right people who had the right criteria on paper, but they lack some of the people skills. And so now if you look at Zappos and the motto, it's totally focused on people skills and customer service. It's known as one of the best customer service businesses in the industry. And it really did redefine the way that people buy shoes. I'm a big fan of Zappos.
Right.
I order things from Zappos all the time. I'm a VIP in Zappos.
See, look at that.
And so people is important. And then how do you, because one of the things that he asked us was, how do you keep people engaged if they are staying away from or straying away from some of the equipment that's in gyms today? So how do you keep people engaged?
Well, I have no equipment except for, we do barbells, okay, dumbbells, kettlebells, body weight. There are no traditional machines in the gym.
Oh,
we don't
wow.
need them. We do functional training.
Okay.
You have to be able to move. We move laterally, we move front and back. And with the machine, you really just move front and back.
Yeah.
We do a lot of sprinting. Like, we do stuff that it's not in a traditional gym. And we do it in a class-based. It's always class-based. So you have people that you know that you see every night, see every morning, the friendships that get created. So it's not just me that has to motivate them. And we use stories and stuff like that. It's the other people in the group that kind of inspire each other.
That sounds awesome.
It is. It's great. There's always a smile on my face when I talk about Training for Warriors.
Wow. I mean, that sounds like a great way too, this kind of collective motivation and also this collective model where you're working with other people and there's space. So you're not like moving around equipment. You're like picking up a dumbbell here or a barbell there. And then you're sort of running and sprinting. That sounds like my ideal place to work out.
You got to come take a class.
I have to. Wow. You know, I have to tell you, for me, I love exercising. It's one of the things that really rejuvenates me. And so just you being able to work in that environment on a regular basis, oh my gosh.
I'm very lucky.
You are super lucky. And so it sounds like, you know, one of the questions that Brian had was, what kind of custom setup do you think would be good for a new age type gym? And it sounds like you're saying it really depends on the services that you're providing.
Yeah, and what are your clients looking for? I think you need a niche.
Okay.
You really need to have something. I think we're very big on customer service.
Mm-hmm.
My clients, my students, are why I'm there. And if it wasn't for them, so I really try to show appreciation. We do Christmas parties, we throw Halloween parties,
wow,
we do beach parties, and that's all that you know, the gym takes them. So you need to be very appreciative, and you have to know people's goals. you know, student A and student D could be totally different people,
right.
But yet I have them work in the same group, which is kind of cool.
I like that. I also like that you give back. I mean, I feel like gyms, usually people go in, they work out, they leave. But what you're saying is that you also have other activities outside of kind of the typical workout structure where you're having these events that really does create a sense of community for your members. That's excellent.
It's a community. Our last Christmas party, the rumor around the neighborhood, and it's in a residential neighborhood, was a new club opened on Flappershire Avenue. That was from our Christmas party. So it's kind of, it's kind of cool.
That's fantastic. I love it. Yeah. And so, Brian, I hope that you were able to see that there are a lot of options for you with respect to starting a gym. We have Gym Guru herself, Kathy, here. Hopefully you'll call back if you have more questions. In the meantime, best of luck to you. That sounds exciting. Wow, that sounds super exciting. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you'll call back with any other questions that you have. We love to get feedback from our callers. We love to know how you're doing and what you're doing, and to kind of have the community with the Breakthrough Barriers group. So basically being able to keep this ongoing dialogue going. And without further ado, how do you feel about going to the next question?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
You have one message.
Hi, this is Megan. I have a question for the guest, Kathy, tonight. Just in general, how do you get over the fear of confronting somebody about an issue, whether that be in a class setting, with another coach, or with a student in a class, specifically relating to like the fitness industry? Thank you.
That's a good question for Megan.
Very good question.
Yeah. What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Conversation. So I really try, and this came from a lot of experience and a lot of failures in not tackling them the right way. So I look at it as having a conversation. For many years, I never had conversations. I was raised in a Irish Catholic family, so there was no talking. Everything was kept hush hush. So it was really hard. Even through my marriage, it was really no conversation, that kind of thing. So I promised myself that as I did this gym, and so sort of realizing that people are going to have problems, you have to have the conversations. And always not putting anybody ever on a defensive. Everything is always going to be okay. And I think sometimes when people do things, maybe if they did something wrong, maybe they didn't realize it. You know what I mean? So I always take the onus that if there's something wrong with somebody that's in my facility, it's on me.
Mm-hmm.
And if I look at it that way, it makes it a lot easier than ever blaming them. Are they going to be wrong sometimes? 100%. But I think being able to have the conversation opens up the door to see how the feelings are. I never do it by text, never do it by email. It's always in person.
Wow. And so that's really a key, having a conversation in person and making sure that you sort of iron out everything that's going on to ensure that there are no misunderstandings or miscommunications. And I like that you said that it's something that you learned the hard way.
100%. There have been many failures in this life.
But you know what, Kathy? It's not always easy to confront someone when you have a situation. This is kind of my background in conflict resolution and communicating with folks. And the way that it works neurologically, it's like you develop kind of like that tunnel vision. When you have a problem, you can only see it your way. You can only see how it's affecting you. And one of the things I like to say to people is, think about Bruce Banner and Incredible Hulk, right? And so Bruce Banner, when he's like a regular person, he has a PhD, an MD, he is a scientist, and you're just like, wow, this guy's amazing. He's like Nobel Peace Prize winning, scientist. And when he's in conflict, when he's upset, he literally turns into a big green monster.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's probably not the guy you want to see when you're walking down the street. But that's something that happens to most people when they have a situation.
Right.
There's a Thomas Kilman study that shows that there are five main ways that people react to conflict. And some people avoid conflicts, right? But what you're saying is, don't be conflict avoidant if you can. It's better to have a conversation. And then one of the other techniques that is a typical response style to conflict from Thomas Kilman is to collaborate. And so working together to figure it out. And that's where a lot of us want to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to work together.
Yes.
And I feel like I love communicating with people. Sometimes I'm like, how did you get that interpretation from what I said? And we have to talk about it.
Right.
We have to figure out how to communicate. So the first thing you're saying is to have a conversation, but how do you get over that fear? So how do you get over the fear of confronting? And confronting sounds like a deeply charged emotional word.
Yes, I don't look at it as confrontation.
Okay.
That's gone. And I think once you think confrontation, now you're scared. Now there's fear.
Yeah.
I just look at it as a conversation. And it there's always going to be fear. I still get little butterflies in my stomach, depending on what it is. But and I've read many books. Crucial Conversations is a great book to read. I think just by practice.
Yeah.
Like anything, practice makes perfect. And the more conversations you have, even if they're not always conflict, you got to have conversations.
You have to. You know what I like, too, about what you said? And thanks for that resource, Crucial Conversations.
Crucial Conversations.
Guys, please get that book. That sounds like a great resource. What I like about what you said, too, is that when you have a conversation with someone, even if you may be a little nervous or have butterflies, there's some things you can do. There's some techniques you can do to kind of calm your nerves down. And so I've heard and done everything from just taking some deep breaths to like kind of grounding myself. So if I'm sitting down, for example, I kind of like plant my feet, which makes me feel grounded and connected. Sometimes people who are in conflict feel disconnected. Mm-hmm. That's why you start to see some things. Like sometimes folks are like getting upset or yelling because they're feeling like they aren't being heard and they're trying to reestablish that connection. And so those are some techniques or tips you can do if you're sitting down or even standing up to reconnect and to feel grounded in the conversation. Something else that I find really useful is to ask a question. And not in a way where you're interrogating someone, you know, like, tell me why you did that, as opposed to, so tell me what happened, right? I find that when I start with a question, we can usually get a lot farther in the conversation. So say, for example, the other day, someone did something that I didn't like. And instead of saying, you did this thing that I didn't like, I said, so let's, you have some time to talk, starting with the question. Yeah, let's talk. Okay. So let's talk about, you know, Thursday and, you know, the events of Thursday. What do you think was going on Thursday? Because I want to know what their perspective on that is before I say how I feel. Because maybe, like you said before, they may not even know that something was off.
Right.
And so I usually like to start with some questions. And I feel like that puts us on the same side as opposed to on two different sides.
That's a great tip.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. And I like what we're doing now. I think when I approach somebody to have a conversation, I never sit across from them.
Yeah.
Always sit. They're my friend or a student, whatever it is. Why am I going to be sitting across from you? Let's have the conversation here. I think it breaks that barrier of I'm in trouble or
yes.
She didn't like what I did, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know what I like? That I love that idea of being on the same side. Typically, when you have a situation or a conflict, you think about being on two different sides. Mm-hmm. And I think that physically putting yourself on the same side is like one aspect of breaking that barrier to put you on the same side again.
Yes.
I also think that's how you collaborate.
Yes.
And, you know, that's not everyone's motto as a boss, right? Some people like to have that, mm-hmm. you know, separation and that hierarchy. And some people like to like work together and collaborate.
Right.
There are a lot of companies that got rid of all the offices and have an open environment.
I think it's awesome.
It's really great, right?
I wish I worked like in an office environment today.
Well, I have to say, it does have some setbacks.
It does. No, I'm
where
sure.
Everyone can see everything at all times,
right?
I used to sit and take my shoes off, and then I was like, gosh, there's glass everywhere.
Right.
Everyone can see me without shoes on. Not a big deal,
right.
But you know, there are some drawbacks to it. But I do like the gist of, you know, the reason that you do these types of things is to say there are no barriers, there are no boundaries, there are no, you know, we are all in this together, working together. There's no hierarchy. And even if there is in terms of role or, you know, perhaps salary, et cetera, the view, the visual, the optics of it, it feels like it's more, there's more camaraderie.
Right.
Right?
We're a team.
You're a team.
We look at it as a team.
I mean, that's the way to think about it. That being a team and you're a team and you're working together, hopefully towards the same goal. And so for this, our caller said as well, how do you kind of talk to someone if it's in a class setting or if it's sort of one-on-one? And do you have any tips for those two different, very different scenarios?
Well, I do. Like I said, I have a very funny person and I use comedy in my classes.
You are
a
funny.
Lot. So if something's going on in class, I'll do it in a way that people don't feel like I'm, you know, like picking them out, and then I'll talk to them. Hey, can I grab you after class? You're doing great today, that kind of thing. And then pull it in one-on-one. But I never make anybody feel bad in class. Like lateness is not something that I go for. So people are late. I'm like, you're late. I'll scream at anybody, and they think it's funny. They're laughing. Am I really? I'm not annoyed, but they know how I feel about it.
Yeah.
So it can be a funny thing. So now it's in class. Like, oh, Alex is late again. So it's a funny thing. So never call somebody out in class.
Okay.
Ever. I think it's a bad, bad thing to do. So just, I think, talking to them one-on-one. And again, when you talk to one-on-one, sit next to the person.
Yeah.
And like your suggestion, start with a question and never attack.
Yes. Yes.
You know, the old days, people would just attack. You'd be afraid to go to your boss's office. It's silly. No one should ever be afraid to ask me anything.
I don't know how anyone can. You're so inviting and welcome and warm. I feel like anyone should be able to ask you anything.
Thank you.
But you know what's interesting is sometimes, even if the intention is to be more welcoming, just the fact that you're the boss.
Right.
Right, can play out differently than, let's say, employee to employee, or, you know, staff member to staff member. And so how do you kind of set the tone, which I think you're telling me that you've done it in many ways. How do you set the tone so that people know that they can talk to you?
My door is always open. And the way I think, just the way I am with people, the way you see me today is the way you'll see me if I was with the president, or the way you would see me if I was just hanging out in my house. I don't change for anybody, and I'm authentic. So I think people feel that from me, and they know that. So, and I'm very easy to talk to. Most people have no problem talking to me.
This is so true, and you are authentic. And what I love about you, Kathy, is that you're always you. And you show up, and you show up for people and for us, and you're just really incredible.
Thank you.
And so I can totally see you being at the gym being the same way. I think sometimes, too, one of the things that I've learned is sometimes you need some time. Meaning, if something happens that really has you in a state and you want to go talk to the person, but you're really upset, that might not be like the best time to talk to that person. So I agree with you, like having a conversation one-on-one and not calling them out in class or confronting them in front of others, because that could have a ripple effect. One, it can make the person feel like it could damage their credibility, your credibility. It could damage your trust with them. It can make them feel really embarrassed.
Yes.
And people, when they feel embarrassed or a certain way, they may, you know, be forced to react in a way they wouldn't react if they were one-on-one.
Right.
And so I think you're absolutely right. Having a one-on-one conversation has its benefits. I do know some people who always have someone else in the room, meaning they're just so concerned about something being taken out of context or misrepresented that they always like to have like a second person in the room.
That's a great
and
idea.
So you got to kind of find what works best for you. But to your point, having that conversation one-on-one, being on the same side so you're not like across from each other in an adversary position, in an adversarial position, makes sense. And then I think also finding the right words, and waiting until you're not upset, especially if you're upset about something.
100%.
It's amazing, even for me, like how in the moment I may like feel one way, and then literally if I wait 24 hours and look at the same thing, I usually have a different opinion. And I used to tell myself, okay, if I still feel the same way about this, you know, and tomorrow, then I'll do X.
Right.
And usually I'm like, oh, okay, it wasn't that bad.
Exactly. Well, listen, did you ever get an email or a text message that just throws you for a loop?
Yes.
And you take that phone and you start banging away at the keys. And you look at it and you say, no, I'm not going to do this.
Yes.
And you're so thankful that you didn't hit send.
Yes.
Because you have, like I said, you need time to think.
Yes.
Pull back and look at it from a different point of view, maybe.
Absolutely. And so for a caller, if you're thinking about confronting someone or having a conversation that causes you to kind of think twice about it, I think what we're saying is, you know, perhaps also give it some time. It doesn't have to be a full day like what I do. It could be, you know, less time. But maybe do something like you're doing now, which is have a conversation. Ask someone's opinion who's not a part of the situation. And then we've given you some tips for some best practices for having a conversation with someone, not calling them out in public. Can I talk? Not calling them out in public, making sure that you kind of sit, you know, in a way that's not adversarial. And in fairness, sometimes you may have to be across the table,
yes.
Right? Like there may be times where you may decide, you know what, it's better for us to be across from each other because maybe you're upset, right? Maybe you're like, I can't be in the same room with this person.
Right.
And so just thinking about it, thinking it through, and then finding a way to have a conversation that's not accusatory, perhaps not too interrogative, but just kind of asking some questions in a way that, you know, we're putting both of you on the same side of trying to problem solve together. Mm-hmm. And I always like to ask people what they think some solutions are. I think historically a lot of situations with, you know, employer-employee is typically the employer saying, do this, do that, or else. And I think what I found to work very well, especially in settings where you have a lot of people, when you have multiple positions of management, mm-hmm. is to ask the person that you're working with to be a part of the solution by helping you to brainstorm and generate ideas to address whatever the issue or issues are. What do you
think?
Them,
I think it's great because, you know, it gives them power and makes them feel included.
Yes, yes.
And again, it's not about the hierarchy anymore. It's the team. I think that's fabulous.
Yeah, and you know what I love? It you said it. It does give them power. It empowers them.
And that's a good thing.
That's
it's not
a great
bad thing.
Thing.
Right. Right. But like I said, years ago, people thought that was a bad thing. It was the boss. And it just, I'm so happy times have changed for my children.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And that's what I think about. I really do.
It's so true. And it's funny because speaking of children, I try to instill as many of these things as possible into my children. And I know that you do the same because we all just want people to be able to have a conversation.
It's quite simple.
Just a conversation.
Right, just a conversation.
Like we're having here today.
Exactly.
Right, Kathy?
As two friends.
Oh, just two friends with like someone just eavesdropping, you right. know, in podcast land, listening to what we're saying.
And then the big white light.
There is a blinding light in the studio right now, folks, let me tell you. But it's getting the best sides of us because there's some video going on right now, too. And so I hope that's been helpful for our callers. For us, it's just always a pleasure to be able to share some insight as to how we would handle a situation. And so I just want to thank all of you for tuning in. Kathy, I want to thank you for being here in the studio today. It truly is an honor to have you as a co-host.
It was my pleasure.
And you gave some great gems. You're just dropping knowledge. This is amazing.
Thank you.
And so hopefully people can use this as perhaps the beginning steps for starting their own gem.
Absolutely. Or I do hope so.
That would be amazing. Or finding the courage to have a conversation with some that might be difficult and some tips and techniques that they can use to kind of study themselves and kind of have that conversation, hoping to collaborate.
Yes.
Right? Awesome. So, wow, I can't believe it. We've come to the end of our show. I'd like to thank you again for joining us. I'd like to thank you again, Kathy, for being here. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day. Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BreakThrouGh, DR. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.